What we hear in Scripture about God's messengers are strange things. Sometimes they're angels. Sometimes they're prophets. No matter who they are, though, they're often not who we would expect to be delivering messages from God. And sometimes the messages that they give are confusing. They're encoded, and they need to be explored. Take John the Baptist, for instance. We find him today just out there shouting in the desert about repentance. He's wearing clothes made of hair, and he's eating locusts and honey. He is a very strange sight, and I think he is one that most of us, if we were walking down the street, we would cross the road so as not to have to walk past him. He's just weird. But even with that, he is the one that Mark declares is the forerunner of Jesus. Mark says, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" It's a sweet scene, really. Mark tells us that this is the good news of Jesus. John the Baptist, who also happens to be Jesus' cousin, is preparing people to welcome Jesus into their lives. And he proclaims Jesus is the important one, not him. And now, the simple nature of the introduction we get from Mark actually conceals, though, the significance about what is actually being said and done. We hear the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We miss it. But Mark's readers and listeners, they wouldn't have. See, good news, or from the Greek, euangelion, was appropriated by the early followers of Jesus from the Roman government. The government would use these statements of good news as propaganda to build faith in the empire. A new emperor was crowned. Good news. A battle was won. Good news. A revolt was suppressed. Good news. Dissidents were killed. Good news. Not for them. Detractors are hushed. The scourge of the city is pushed out, and the people at the margins are kept safely there. Good news, good news, good news. At least for the empire. But Mark takes this term, this proclamation, and applies it to the message of Jesus. It's no longer just used as a way to indoctrinate people. No, for Mark, the good news actually frees people. The good news of the empire, it's not the one that matters. But Mark's good news, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that is the good news for people. That's transformative. But it's dangerous. It puts head-to-head the empire's good news versus God's good news. And then we hear the phrase, Jesus Christ. We hear that term so much, both in casual exclamations and in church, that I think it's come to lack the chutzpah that it should. A Christ was an anointed one. It's where we get the word christening. And from the Greek, we get the word Messiah. But at the time, it was a broad term. It was designating priests and prophets and kings. But the most problematic, the most pointed barb that Mark uses it is that the emperor would have been considered a Christ as well. as one specially anointed to rule. And once again, we have the empire's Christ versus God's Christ. And this first sentence that we have ends by identifying Jesus as the Son of God. Now, surely there's no other way that could be interpreted, right? Well, far before this term was used for Jesus to mark him as God's Son, it was used for Roman emperors. They saw their reign as handed to them by the gods, and their role was to command the power of the gods on earth. Son of God was one of many of the titles that the emperor bore. So once again, the empire's Son of God versus God's true Son. Now, we've only talked about the opening sentence, but it's subversive. It's treasonous. Mark sets up Jesus' life as the true good news, Jesus as the true Christ and the Messiah, and Jesus as the only true Son of God. Mark is setting the stage for a showdown. Government or God? But we're probably asking ourselves, why should any of us believe that this Jesus is going to be so important, to act so powerfully? Well, Mark was thinking about that, and he provides that for us as well. Following his scandalous opening sentence, Mark provides a quote he attributes to Isaiah. Mark says, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way." There's one little problem here, is that this portion isn't actually from Isaiah. This section is from the prophet Malachi and from the book of Exodus. It was written first in Exodus, "I am going to send a messenger in front of you to guard you on the way and bring you to the place that I have prepared." And then later, Malachi prophesies about the coming of Elijah, saying, "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me." Pretty similar. They sound very, very much the same. And they're supposed to. So Mark's audience would have been familiar with him taking on the term good news. They would have also, as good Jewish people, have been familiar with these scripture citations as well. The one in Exodus, in fact, the entire book is attributed to have been written by Moses. And Malachi is speaking of the prophet Elijah, who paved the way for the coming of God's reign, and who was very much a precursor of John the Baptist. He even wore clothing made of hair. Only then does Mark actually start to quote Isaiah, which we also happen to hear in the very first lesson. "A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Mark is using these quotations to say something powerful. John is preparing the way for the one who is pointed to by Moses and Malachi and Elijah and Isaiah. Mark is taking these ancient texts and uses them to show that Jesus is the person that the prophets of old have declared. But it goes even deeper. Moses and the stories in Exodus are about freeing Israel from their slavery in Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. Isaiah marks Israel's return from exile under the Babylonians. And Malachi's attribution of Elijah signals the expectation, that God will be establishing God's reign on earth. So this Jesus will free the people from slavery. This Jesus will lead them into the promised land. This Jesus will establish God's reign on earth. And all of it, the prophets, the settings, the stories, they point to Jesus' unique calling as the Savior of the world. Or as it flies in the face of Rome, as the true good news, the true Christ, and the true Son of God. Now, at the same time that Jesus is coming onto the scene, the Emperor Vespasian, known as the Son of God, was believed to have been anointed, Christed, by the god Jupiter into his role after he defeated a chaotic civil war and suppressed a massive revolt. He intended to bring in, and now here we cue the sign for the good news, a brand new era in Rome. What we have here is the Empire of Rome pitted against the Empire of God. Government, God. As we move through Advent, we are increasingly pressed by our scripture stories to make an allegiance. Only one side has the true good news. Only one side has the true Son of God. Only one side can win. Which side are you on?